All right, folks. Well, if you're watching this, that means that the Yankees just won a game. So that's nice. Luis Gil, is he back to his rookie of the year stuff? It sure looks like he's close to that. He gets the win in this one. David Bednar looks like one of the hottest pitchers in the league, which is interesting because he was actually one of the hottest pitchers in the league when they acquired him. And the Yankees got off to a hot start, scoring 3 runs in the first inning. Only scored 1 run the rest of the day. But really, if you're looking for one thing that really shined, it was the defense in this game. A lot of double plays, some good plays in the field. Of course, ending on a Cody Bellinger shoestring catch, which he's making it look, regardless if he's at first or left field. I just texted Gary right when the game ended. I was like, Cody Bellinger is special. And that's just, yeah. That's just,
did you see the Paul Goldschmidt picking the dandelions over at first base? They gave the error to Weaver somehow. I'm not sure.
Dude, that's not a Weaver error. That's insane.
How can it possibly be on anybody else other than you? You weren't even looking.
Oh my God.
I just thought it was obviously ridiculous, but the Yankees won this game in typical fashion. They're going to go out there and score early, and they're going to hang on for dear life. That's exactly what happened, right? Obviously, Jason Dominguez played today. It was nothing special, but it was enough. It was an RBI knock. It's what you need. And I'll tell you what, Jason Dominguez is kind of in the position that he deserves to be in. He's going to play every once in a while, right? I know, Jake, you text me, you were not happy that Stan was not playing today. And I get it. He's probably our hottest bat. But
I was pissed. I was pissed.
Yeah, I think the broadcast, Girardi actually mentioned all the running he was doing the day before, right? All the long runs down the right field line, and maybe that had an impact. Maybe. But again, if it's physical, I don't have a problem with him not playing. Giancarlo Stanton mentioned. He deserves to be mentioned. He's a good enough player to be mentioned. I think eventually he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. And Ninja Hot Dog says, glad we can still beat sub-500 teams. And I'll tell you guys what. Oh, you know, I want to answer. T, thank you. Really appreciate it. See you on Twitter as well. So thank you for being here. Of course, I want to get to this super. I'm not sure if it is the first one. It is. Alex Reyes.
I tried to switch to it, and then it just, yeah, there we go.
So Alex Reyes with the super with the 2 says, Gary, why do you absolutely despise, I assume that is Jason Dominguez? So I'm not going to haggle on this very much because I want to talk about the good stuff that happened today. And Jason Dominguez was part of the good, right? Nice little at bat, spray the ball the other way. That's something good. But I want people to remember when I cover this player, this was promised in the past as the future, like future stardom. Now, that doesn't have to happen in your first 200 games played. That's just how baseball works. Very difficult game to play. And the one thing we know about the Yankees, Jake, we're in win now mode. We are not 40 games into the season where we're up 4 games in the division. There's not really any sense of urgency. No, there's about 40 games left, 40, 42 games left in the season. It's put up or shut up time now for the Yankees, for Aaron Boone, right? For another year of Aaron Judge's prime, right? With Cody Bellinger on the roster, who, given the way he's playing, Jake, this is his final year under contract. He could be playing for another team next year. So all of this is essentially to bring up the fact that my coverage on Jason Dominguez is he's not playing good enough baseball to push Trent Grisham, Cody Bellinger, Aaron Judge, or right now, given the injury situation, a Giancarlo Stanton off the field. That's his reality. Whether or not it's fair or not to a 22-year-old, I believe it's fair. If you don't play better than the players in front of you, you just shouldn't play. And again, I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for Anthony Volpe, any of our young players, Austin Wells. But when you don't play well enough, no pun intended on Wells, then somehow, some way, you should find a way to get Ben Rice behind the plate catching every day. And that's exactly what we have. So I don't dislike Jason Dominguez at all. I try to cover him fair.
I think you do a good job of that. I think they're in a tough spot because you're trying to win games, okay? If Jason Dominguez isn't one of the best options, then he shouldn't be in the lineup. And the reality is, he is one of the best nine hitters, but his defense is a problem, and even if it wasn't, he's still not a better defender than the guys you just mentioned. And so that's the thing. I mean, I would argue Stanton is a better outfielder than Jason Dominguez. Like, that's,
and that's
what
insane
we're talking about
to say, and we don't want to say it.
No,
it's in our
no.
best interest for him to be better there.
Of course.
But that's the prerequisite to become a starter every day, is not, because mind you guys, to kind of save this here, Jake's not saying for him to ever play. He's saying for him to play every day, Monday yeah. through Friday, going into the weekend, where you see someone's name in there every day. There can't be a player who's better than them on the bench. That can't be. Just because they're young and they have potential, win now teams, they don't have time to just wait around on potential 40 games away from the postseason. They just don't. So, yeah, Alex, I don't dislike this guy. I don't. There's no young – there's really not any baseball player. I mean, probably Marcus Stroman. He's probably the only guy on the team I didn't like watching that I could hardly root for. But, again, if push came to shove and he was on the mound in a win now game, I'm going to root for him. So, yeah, there's no player on the Yankees I dislike.
Aaron
Did you
Hicks,
have something to add there?
Joey Gallo. Okay, sorry.
I enjoyed watching some of what they were doing. Not Gallo, but Hicks. Hicks had his moments. There just weren't a ton of them.
I remember 12 of Gallo's home runs.
Is that how many he had?
I think he had 13. Now that 13 I think about homers. It. But 13 That's not home very many. Runs in a year and a half? I don't know.
It's
yeah,
insane.
I hated when they signed Hicks to that extension. Hated it. I thought he was overrated. And then all I know is when every time I think of Hicks, I just think of him looking down, just staring at the baseball. And then Joey Gallo, every time I think of him, I just think of him whining. I don't even think of him. I think about Michael Kay with the best pipe bomb you'll ever see, just blowing up Joey Gallo, basically saying, the worst 500 at bats for a New York Yankee. And I was like, you know what? It felt good because everyone is like, oh, Michael Kay's a company man, all that. Yeah, do you think the Yankees were like, yeah, we really want you to go and rip Joey Gallo and not be like, no. He was like, I'm going to say my piece. And it felt, it resonated, I think, with the whole fan base because we all felt the same way. I mean, he was so frustrating. And you wanted him to figure it out because obviously you're not rooting against him. It's you're not like,
of course not.
Oh yeah, I'm rooting against you know the captain of the ship, or I'm rooting against you know the conductor or the of the train. Like no, you want to get from point A to point B. But the reality was when he came out and was just like, yeah, you know, blame New York and all this, and like how he didn't feel at home. Everyone's like, No. You can't have it both ways. You can't suck and then also whine and complain about New York.
He was also talking about the shift. I don't know if you remember that. So
I do remember that.
I agree with what you're saying, though, about Michael Kay. Because, I mean, people will say that he's a company man. But the reality is Michael Kay is a big enough name. He's not going anywhere.
No.
The Yankees, they couldn't get rid of him if they wanted to.
Did you see his imitation of Aaron Boone?
I did. So many people sent that to me. They're like, I couldn't believe he mocked Aaron Boone. I'm like,
that
well.
Was legitimately the funniest thing I've seen all year. Because I'm
not expecting
Mr. Classy Michael Kay, right? Because he's all class. Was not expecting him to be like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, I was not expecting that imitation, like the whole like mocking him thing. But he, again, is resonating with the fan base. And that is why I like when he does that, because you sit there and it's like, am I crazy? You know, after a while, like when we're talking about Volpe every single night and like how he was struggling, and then you had people saying, no, he's fine. And then you hear it in like the Yes broadcast and no, Volpe's just, and it's like, are we crazy?
Because there were rumblings of that in the Yes broadcast somewhere where it's like, oh, Volpe was really struggling for a while and he's hitting some clutch homers of late. And then you feel like nowhere is your opinion coming out except on podcasts, like your own local podcast. But the major network, you're not getting that coverage, right? So that was just kind of odd to me. And I didn't look at it as like, oh, it wasn't classy or anything. And I know you didn't either. But for me personally, I just look at it and think like, all right, at some point or another, Michael K does have to throw a jab. Like here and there, you got to throw a little jab in there because you can't sit up here and watch this Yankees team over the last 110 games and be like, oh yeah, it's all sunshine. It's fine. No, you need to get pissed off at some point. And I don't know if you guys are listening to this show. He's telling you what he really thinks. So I think it's interesting. Slim Lewis with a five. Slim, thank you. And before I get to this, guys, make sure you guys subscribe to Yankees Unloaded. I know everybody wants us to be doing a Major League Baseball Unloaded where we cover all teams. And just a second ago off to my left here, we had Teoscar Hernandez hitting a bomb. So it's 3-1 Dodgers over the Padres. So very interesting there. But a little sneak peek to the future. But Slim Lewis, the giveaway. If we get to 10,000 subscribers, which we should in theory, we are giving away a Yankees jersey of your choice. All you have to do is be subscribed. And of course, like the video helps us grow. We wish it wasn't the case. We wish, I think Mr. Beast said they should get rid of that. Didn't work, but they didn't listen to him. But Slim Lewis with the five. Thank you, Slim. Greatly appreciate it. Says Heel looked great against one of the worst offenses in Major League Baseball, but a win is a win also. Are almost a rehab start for Luis. So yeah, pretty much. I think, Jake, we can agree that lineup was not very good, right? And Stanton should start tomorrow. We agree. If Giancarlo Stanton doesn't play tomorrow, because, again, and Alex Reyes may not like this, I understand he had a hit. He's still not one of our best three options in the outfield. He's just not. And I will say this, though, about St. Louis. This is one thing that is a little worrisome about Stanton in the outfield. There's a lot of ground to cover out there. A lot. So, I don't know. Did you notice that?
I would sit Judge.
You would sit Judge?
At this point in time, Stanton being a DH, if like you said, like it's tough. Because I was thinking that too. I'm watching. I'm like, okay, maybe I understand. I would have just sat Judge. He doesn't have to play every day. He doesn't, right? They're talking, oh, he's coming back. Right now, Stanton is nuclear. The last thing you should be doing is giving any sort of chance for his hot streak to die. Because right now, he looks like MVP Stanton in Miami. I'm not kidding.
Oh, well, I'm playing Judge no matter what. I'm playing Stanton no matter what. I think those are my two. But I'm saying mentality is that.
I would play Stanton over Jason Dominguez, no doubt. But I'm saying if it came down to Judge in Stanton right now, I'm picking Stanton.
Oh, so by the way, so Alex Reyes, obviously you're the one who teed up the super, and we're glad you did. So thank you for investing in the channel. I would like you to jump in the live. You don't have to super your answer, but just drop it in the live. Would you play Jason Dominguez tomorrow over Cody Bellinger, who obviously made not a game-saving catch, but he won the game, right, in the ninth inning today? Would you play Jason Dominguez over him, over Trent Grisham, over Stanton, right, or over Judge? Who are you playing him over? So I don't think this is an opportunity to dislike a player. I just think right now the Yankees are in a situation, and this is a good situation for the Yankees, by the way, because it kind of forces them to move the way that they should have been since the beginning. So that's what excites me about this. There's an opportunity to be had here, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good problem to have. I say what you will, but having Jason Dominguez on your bench because Trent Grisham is a better player right now and Cody Bellinger's a better player and Stanton's a better player and Judge is a better player. Like, that's a good problem to have. It just is. Because now it's not... See, back when it was kind of... Grisham got off to a hot start, but you're like, I don't know. Like, is this going to... Like, how long is this going to last? Now we know Grisham is just a good player this year, okay? Like, he's getting on base, right? If he doesn't, you know, get a hit, he's walking twice a game now. Like, that's what it
feels like.
Let me
get Alex Reyes' response because I want to keep the flow of this. Mm-hmm. I want Alex, and CBA, we're going to put you right back up on the screen, absolutely read your super. And Alex Reyes, thank you for getting back to us, said, I DH him over Judge. Judge is more lost at the plate watching him whiffing strikes. So here's the thing I'm going to say about it. And then, Jake, I'm very curious to know because you, in a way, introduced that, right, just a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is that Aaron Judge is too good of a player that even when he's ice cold, I have to leave him out there. I just have to because there's too much potential. The way he's pitched, how much he gets on base, and you're talking about over the long term, 2 or 3 days, he's going to get on base 4 or 5 times in that stretch just by how much he's respected. So I get it. that maybe when Aaron Judge is going through one of these streaks where he's not hitting, you can say, oh, I would kind of like to see Jason Dominguez taking at bat over him at the moment. But I just think the career and what Judge has done for this team, I personally wouldn't be confident in doing that. What would you do in this situation? Because I think if tomorrow was like, I don't know, a wild card game and you're thinking, all right, we got to play our best players, what would you do in this situation if you're going into tomorrow? Would you consider Dominguez at the DH spot and actually sitting Judge, or is it a giving him a day, or is it actually playing the best players for the day? What do you see?
I think a struggling Judge, I would still more than likely keep over Dominguez at DH. But if it came between Stanton and Judge, I'm picking Stanton all day right now. The reality is Judge is 5 of his last 29.
Like, that's fair. I think I agree with you.
So I again, to your point, because I think we can marry both points here. I'm not saying Judge can't play. I'm saying if it comes down to Jason Dominguez had a nice hit today, but Jason Dominguez isn't hitting a scorcher 300, having close to 1,000 OPS. Stanton is on absolute fire, and I just don't think people entirely understand just how hot this guy really is. And so, and also keep in mind, this team's been relying so much on the home run ball. Well, guess what? Stanton has also been just nuking home runs. I mean, he's only played, what, 40-something games?
Yeah, there's a huge difference. You're mentioning slugging. That's the whole reason that Dominguez was finding his way off the field, was because Grisham wasn't... It wasn't the fact that he was hitting 250 and that was good enough. It was 250 in slugging with good defense, right? Yeah. So when anytime you get a guy going out there and he's taking clutch at-bats, we can't forget that Giancarlo... I mean, is this crazy to say? Giancarlo is the most clutch player in this organization. He's the most clutch. Dude, if August. You're in a big situation, would you want Aaron Judge coming up to the plate over Giancarlo Stanton? I mean, I would love our audience to answer that. I'm not even thinking twice. It is Giancarlo Stanton. I want him walking up to the plate.
Gary, it's not even the home runs. And I wanted to make that clear as well. I'm not saying I'm just... He's got 4 this month, right? He's hitting 394. He's got a 474 on base percentage in the month of August. He's got a 788 slugging. That means his OPS is 1262. This guy should never be on the bench. And honestly, I said this on Twitter. I'm going to say it here. Whether it was Boone or it was, you know, the people in the analytical department, someone should be fired for this. It's that bad. I mean, just think about this, okay? You have a guy who might actually be the hottest hitter in baseball right now. Seriously, like, his numbers are disgusting. We're talking about a slugging percentage almost in the 800s. And by the way, that's over the course of half a month. We're now halfway through the month.
So I take it you didn't like the numbers. Coverage. Because the coverage, by the way, was that we're worried that he's so valuable, if we run him out there every day, we may lose him. That was the coverage.
That's
so
exactly why I say, if it gets to that point, you DH him. That's simple. You do not go without playing him. I was all for it before. Remember, I was like, yeah, you could give Stanton a day here and there. Back when, I don't know, he had a 604 OPS in June. But
does he need a day really physically of taking at bats?
No, he doesn't. July, Gary, with, by the way, these tennis elbows, right? Yes. That should have, like, ended his career. July was 284, a 346 on base, a 635 slugging, a 981 OPS, and then August, he's just on another planet.
They covered Stanton's tennis elbow like he was having double amputation. What are you talking about? He has harder exit velocity this year than he did the year prior. So the idea that Stanton is just not the same player, it's between the ears. Clutch gene, I don't even know how to describe it. There's just certain players, when it's August, September, October, there's just certain guys you want in there. And mind you guys, it wasn't a huge problem today. We won the game. We played the Cardinals. Yeah. And we did what we were supposed to do. That's great. And that's exactly what we should be covering. But it is interesting, just the premise, because they put him in the outfield. And I get it. He was running down the right field line. He was running into the net, I guess we should say. I understand it. But if he needs a day and you can't throw him out in right field, someone's going to have to bite the bullet at the DH spot. And that guy for the day might be Judge. It might be. And if he's playing like Aaron Judge and he looks like Aaron Judge at the plate over the last 3 to 4 days, then yeah, maybe Stan's got to come off the field. That makes a lot of sense. But Aaron Judge doesn't look like Aaron Judge at the moment. And you want to play the best guys at the moment. I think that's something the Yankees need to get a little bit more comfortable doing. They clearly haven't. CBA with the Super, we really appreciate it. Also a member here at Yankees Unloaded. I don't know, have we
got it.
Whatever. Jake's already on it. But appreciate it. Thank you for the five. Says Bednar is such a dog. Jake, I don't know if you were looking at, and this is something that stood out to me. This is something I see in Weaver. I saw it in Mariano, right? And Weaver's not Mariano. Bednar's not Mariano. They couldn't even be him in a video game. But you have to have confidence. You have to have dog to pitch in New York. You have to have nerve. Sometimes the situation, sometimes things are out of your control. You might pick off, your first baseman's not looking like you saw tonight. So much can go wrong in these moments, right? And you can be the villain. I saw it in the 0-1 World Series. I was obviously rooting for the bad guys at the time, but Byung-Young Kim, a 21-year-old kid, you become the villain overnight. This job, this is a tough job to pitch at the end of the game. David Bednar, to CBA's point, is a dog. He is comfortable with the overhand curveball. It's too slow. Guys are ahead of it, and he's got the juice, 97, 98, and it's located. When you have that, there's just not much hitters can do, whether you're playing the Cardinals or not. So he's one of the guys that are in our inner circle. We've just got to find a way, in my opinion, to score with runners in scoring position. If we can do that, we can actually do something.
No, I totally agree with you. And that's the thing is, you know, the Yankees got into a tough spot when it was Clay Holmes last year and he started blowing saves. And it's actually kind of similar to this year, right? Because they found their closer late in the process. I think this is right around the time they went to Luke Weaver.
Very late. Around this time, yeah. Sounds about right.
And they just magically have a new closer in Bednar. It's funny, this team doesn't struggle with the leadoff hitter necessarily because of the leadoff hitters last year, until Gleyber took over in August, the leadoff hitters were atrocious.
Yeah, that was after his benching. That's right.
Yeah, no matter who they put there. I mean, they put Alex Verdugo there. That was just awful. But they put everybody there. They tried everyone except for Judge, which I get. But, yeah, that really hasn't been the issue. And, honestly, there's a thing I sent you earlier today, and this just kind of goes back to why this whole thing is on Boone. And I understand they won the game today. Mm-hmm. But the Yankees and Guardians are... Well, now the Yankees have 65 wins and 57 losses. And did the Guardians win today?
I'm not sure if they won, but didn't the Guardians sold. They got rid of Bieber.
They right? did. So, and the Guardians won today. So, or no, they lost. Okay, so they lost. So they're two away. They're two away in the win column, right?
Okay.
And my point being was I saw this tweet from at the Yanks only, okay?
Okay.
And I sent this to you. The Yankees, with only two up in the win column, have a plus 90 run differential to the Guardians negative 22. Now, understand this. We've talked about it. I'm not about to back away from my original take that the Yankees have a lot of inflated numbers from beating up on teams that they were already winning, and then they just poured like the 20-run game and whatnot. But that said, the Guardians have a negative 22, and they're finding ways to win almost as much as the Yankees are. And that tells me something. That tells me managing. That doesn't necessarily, you know, I don't necessarily put that on the players. I think late game stuff has been an issue. And so I think the good thing is that since it doesn't appear they're going to fire Boone anytime soon, Bednar is making it easier on an Aaron Boone. He can honestly cover him up because it's like, oh, I got this. Like Luke Weaver last year. Because guess what? Boone would just keep making the same mistake with Clay Holmes until Clay Holmes got to the point where he was getting close to Dave Rigetti's blown save record.
He would have blown it. And he absolutely would have. It was so bad that the team had to do something different. And then what they went to ended up just being a major option. But if Weaver didn't exist, then yeah, there would have been no way for the Yankees to miss. The way they covered it when Weaver went to the closer's role is we're going to go to the hot hand.
Yeah.
But really, Weaver had the role. That's actually what happened. So if he didn't exist, would the Yankees have done a mismatch and we're going to have him throw against him and go lefty versus lefty? Would we have been able to go that way and win the same amount of games, go where we went, right? In that Cleveland series where we were going to Weaver, could we have gone through that series without Weaver in his emergence? Probably not. And no. I get it. Your favorite home run of the year, Big Christmas. And that was tragic. By the way, this super, I didn't see it. So Yankee Fangirl for Life with the two, greatly appreciated. Thank you. Says, do you know what Cash said today and what do you think? What did Brian Cashman say? I think I had to guess, was it about winning the division? Was that it?
No, he basically just supported Aaron Boone. He said he was doing the best he can at managing the team through a spiral, and they just got to win and take it day by day, essentially. That was, from what I remember, what I saw. Yeah.
Yeah, so drop it in the comments. Exactly what did he say? Paraphrase, and then, of course, we can go through that, and then we'll get back to it. So I'll be looking
basically
at the live
chat. Basically,
he defended
him. So a lot of people had an issue with him defending him.
Okay.
I have no issue with it. Because why do you want, and trust me, Brian Cashman's not my favorite person, but why do you want Brian Cashman as the general manager of the New York Yankees to throw the manager of the New York Yankees under the bus? I mean, things already aren't really going that well, right? Why would you want to add more fuel to the fire?
Yeah, so it was sent to me by my mom. She said Aaron Boone is doing the best he can, managing the Yankees through the latest spiral. So I guess the question is if Boone is doing the best he can, what does doing the best you can have anything to do with doing good enough? That's the thing. Is sometimes you are doing the best you can, but what you can do doesn't suffice to actually win. That's something that can be said, is that Aaron Boone, I'm sure, is doing everything he can. But is he doing everything possible that can get this group forward? No. That should be the easy coverage. But he's not going to come out here and say, yeah, my manager's just cheeks. He's not good at all. Yeah. We know that. We get that. So him getting on the mic, pointless. Asking him about prospects and what he thinks about them, that makes sense. Because even while he's telling you. Yeah, even while he's telling you about players, he's really forced to either put 2 feet in the sand and just be a liar or kind of trying to find a way. He has to be creative, at least. In this moment, what else is he going to say? So, yeah, I don't really have too much to say about it because this is their job. It's the reason he's here. It's because of their doing. So
what I want to know is who was like, you know, hey, Brian, it'd be really good PR if you could just go and just give your buddy – like just some moral support. Like, you think Boone cared for that? Like, probably not.
I'll tell you right now, anything Brian Cashman said isn't going to land anyway, because nothing said can work. That's why at this point people are like, can Hal come out and say something? I'm like, guys, what is Hal going to say other than I'm going to set this thing, I'm going to turn these tables upside down, like, all these guys are gone.
People think like words are going to add W's in the win column. It's just, it doesn't.
But not only that, he's not going to give you guys, he's not going to just transform into a different person. You have to remember who it is. It's Hal Steinbrenner. Hal Steinbrenner's not going to come out here and be like, what Boone is doing, what Brian Cashman, he's wasting my money. This is despicable. He's just not that type of person. And CBA has a message for Jake. Thank you for the two. Says, Jake, this is for Stafford's epidural, so obviously he has the back issues.
Yeah,
that's tough.
I'm so over talking about Stafford's back. I'm sure, but I appreciate you are. CBA,
because I saw he had a sponsorship with
the beer can.
It was the mattress, the one with the number that's just a waste of money.
Sleep number.
And I guess ever since he got that sleep number thing,
flush that down the drain. There goes the sleep number sponsor.
Apparently, like, the ad hasn't materialized since the back injury, because I mean, those companies are freaking out. They took it down. But Cedric with the five, really appreciate that, Cedric. Thank you also for being a member here. There is no way Jason Dominguez makes that game-ending catch that Belly made. I don't know. You put him on a segue, a some skates, some rollerblades.
Cedric's 100% right. Honestly, just look at that one catch, and I love the way it was covered in the broadcast. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, okay, we're going to give him props. He made the catch, but it was like, I forget how Ruco said it, but it was in a way like, yeah, and he kind of a weird, you know, he picked that up at the last second type deal. And I'm like, but like, why is he always picking up baseballs at the last second? All right, like during the day games, it's hard to see. Fine, I get it. But like a night game, like, dude, that was late in the game too. So it's dark.
You know what it's called? It's called a bad read.
Yeah, I know.
It's a bad read. This isn't Dallas. Like, it's not like he's playing for the Cowboys and, oh, the sun's coming through the window, I can't see. No, everyone else can see, but you don't pick up the baseball. So again, this is what he's bad at, and then he's really, he's,
do you think,
I mean, he's
he
not
has,
really good, but he's,
do you
pretty
think
good.
He has something wrong with his eyes? Do you think, like, no. He needs like glasses or something? Like, why?
No, I just
his
think in general
are awful.
No, I just think in general that it's a skill set to be able to make reads faster than another player. Like, that's part of the reason why, like, a Cody Bellinger, doesn't it feel like he always makes these plays? Oh, shoestring. He saved our season, it felt like, at the time, with a shoestring double play Mets. That he throws to first base. Right, and so it's not just luck that these type of players and Cody Bellinger get to that ball, whereas other players don't. That's just part of the skill set. That's why we went out and traded. We're going to get, okay, bring me in a Harris, bring in Bader, right? I want to see what that looks like because he has that skill set out in center field. So
it's also not even a read for me. It's also the lack of aggressiveness. Like, if Jason
confidence
was
maybe,
yeah, like if Jason was, I feel like he kind of plays like almost like Grisham a little bit. He almost plays, has that kind of like lackadaisical nonchalantness, but at the same time, he's not Grisham. Like, Grisham can make those plays because he knows, he's like, oh, I got it in the bag. But like Jason Dominguez, it's like he should be more like Harrison Bader. You have the athleticism to dive all over the field and be like Harrison Bader. You never have once, I mean, maybe you have, Garrett, I haven't. Never have I once seen, you know, in the outfield, Jason Dominguez show the athleticism. He doesn't look athletic in the outfield. He doesn't.
I would probably just say he hasn't built the confidence yet, and that's going to take a significant portion of time, a lot of reps.
Which
and I think
goes
it's
back
possible.
To Boone. Why is he playing left field?
I mean, I'm not exactly sure, but I would assume, if I had to make an assumption on why that is, it's the Yankees believing that it wouldn't make a difference.
Look at that. There it is. You had brought this up to me.
I texted it to you.
Yep. So,
and
so
it wasn't my comparison. I'm not exactly sure who brought it up, but somebody made the comparison and they said that Jason Dominguez reminds them a ton of Melky Cabrera. Now, Melky Cabrera was a very good player. And if you don't believe me, most of our audience knows exactly who I'm talking about. I love Melky Cabrera, but he also was popped for steroids. Okay. So that's part of the reason why he isn't really remembered as well as he should be remembered. I mean, he had close to 2,000 career hits, if I remember correctly. Great career. Great career. And you look up and you say, oh, he hit 290 this year. He hit 310 that year. Really good player. But if you look at the power numbers, part of the reason for the coverage is that you see 14 homers, 16 homers, right? 13 homers. Not a ton of pop, but he's one of the guys that goes up there, takes a professional at bat. Now, Melky was a pretty good fielder, if I remember correctly, had a really nice arm. So, not a perfect mm-hmm. comparison. I did mention that. Obviously, Melky wasn't as fast, not even close to as fast as Jason Dominguez, but pretty decent comparison. And I'll tell you right now, if I could have Melky Cabrera on this team, I probably would take him.
In 2012, Melky Cabrera was unlike anything. Bro had a 906 OPS and only had 11 home runs. So just think what that dude had to do. 390 on base. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, he was, and I understand steroids rub people the wrong way, but I think he had the talent where you could say he was a really good player with or without the steroids.
I would say if you get caught for steroids, you need to have been a great player to continue being remembered. Like, mm-hmm. for example, when you think about D. Gordon, right? D. Gordon was a really good player. He was pretty good, right, for a little segment there. Then he gets popped for a steroid, right? No one thought he was taking anything, I mean, for obvious reasons. And then next thing you know, it's like, all right, well, D. Gordon was at the level where I had him mentally, and he gets just brought down a little notch. That's kind of how it is. And so Melky Cabrera was a really good player. He wasn't a Hall of Famer by any stretch. It was none of that, but he was a really good player. He would have been into the, what does the Instagram kids call it, right? The Hall of Very Good?
Yeah.
He was very good. And so, I don't know. I just think this comparison is probably going to be seen as like hate or whatever the kids like to, they love to call it.
I Melky Cabrera was a sign up to be Melky Cabrera.
Melky Cabrera was a pretty good player. And part of the reason why you draw the comparisons is because the pop's not there, right? It seems right now with Dominguez, the pop is in that little 15 to 21 range. That's not Martian territory. That's like good player territory.
Yeah. And did you see that rumor that I think it was it Heyman? I don't know. Said the Mets like Cody Bellinger. It's like, yeah, not, I like Ronald Acuna Jr. I mean, what? Dude, they're the funniest things ever because you always talk about this. You'll say it one way or another. It'll either be the Yankees have interest because now it's, oh, they're interested. Well, now we know, like, you know what I mean? It's like anybody could say that. There's, you know, but then it's also the whole, yeah, the Mets like Cody Bellinger. It's like, I will tell you, if the Mets pluck Cody Bellinger from the Yankees, that I moved on from Soto pretty quickly. I'd be really pissed about Cody Bellinger. But I would also
never gonna happen.
At the same time, Gary, I'd be really pissed at the Yankees because if he went to the Mets, I don't think he would go to the Mets over the Yankees unless they offered him some crazy.
Never gonna happen ever. Let me tell you something. People look at the Mets and they look at all teams this way, like really Dodgers, Mets, right? And I understand it. They've spent a lot of money, right? They've got, we're going to move money to later, all this stuff. You just lost Juan Soto to the Mets. And it's perceived like the Mets showed up and threw some godlike offer that the Yankees weren't even close to. The Yankees offered $775 million. Over with one extra year, so it was a 16-year deal. Ridiculous contract, right?
Yeah.
They went out there and offered a 15-year contract with all types of incentives, so he made $125 million this year. I don't think people realize that, right? All types of stipulations, suites. Now, mind you, that offer was pretty close to the Yankees. Pretty close. So the idea that all of a sudden Cody Bellinger, who I personally already know loves playing for the Yankees, loves playing for the Yankees, and has always wanted to play for the Yankees, right? Dad played for the team, all this. And he's going to make the exact same decision to go to the Mets? No, it's not. It's not even in the equation. Are the Mets going to try? Certainly. But I can guarantee you the Mets offer and the Yankees offer will be in the same ballpark. And as long as that's the case, which I absolutely believe it will be, he's going back to the Yankees. That's just how it is. Again, when I mention Cody Bellinger, it's about wanting to play somewhere. Nowhere, anywhere. Nowhere did someone tell you that Juan Soto, we brought Randy Miller on our show, and he goes, oh yeah, I knew that he was going to the Mets the second he was traded to the Yankees. I knew that. No one is going to report that. No one will join our show in a year and say, oh yeah, I always knew Cody Bellinger wanted to go play for the Mets. No, he didn't. So I just think right now the Yankees are part of a situation where they know these two people are supposed to be married long term, but we kind of have to act and do our part, and Heyman's going to make his reports and this guy's going to make his reports. None of that stuff matters at all because both parties have to act like it's not a perfect match. And then we're going to negotiate, and then we'll come up with our terms. That's exactly what's going to happen. So I'm looking forward to this continuing. And then, of course, if this doesn't work out, you guys can clip this, whatever. But I do think Cody Bellinger is going to be a Yankee. I do.
I do, too. I think they – I know you're going to hate this, but I've made it very clear. I think they look at it's either him or Kyle Tucker, who is not finishing out the best. Neither are the Cubs, really.
No.
Their fall from grace. But – I think it's going to be either or with him and Tucker. I think if they lose Bellinger before Tucker, I could see them pivoting hard, and then I would say they're even the favorites. I'll go on a limb and say that. If Bellinger signed with somebody and Tucker was still available, mm-hmm. I think the Yankees would just pour money into him, and I think he would be the replacement. That would be their pivot. But I don't think they don't view Tucker, and I mean, I don't know for sure, but my feeling is they don't view Tucker as a need. They view Tucker as a luxury. If Bellinger gets away, now he's a need.
Yeah, it's pretty sad that we look at borderline Hall of Famers and go, oh, we don't need it. We don't need it. Because all the situations where a Hall of Famer was available to us, anytime we had the perception that we didn't need that player, almost exclusively 2-3 years down the road, we're like, ah, I guess Corey Seager, I guess we did need him. Oh, Lindor was available from Cleveland. I guess we did need that player, right? We end up learning that you can't always just go into the market and look at what you need. I mean, we talk about in the NFL all the time, some of the best drafters in the NFL, some of the best actual GMs in the NFL take the best player available, and they worry about needs later. Brian, and by the way, I wanted to get to this real quick because I see Scott Ross, who's a member of ours, in the comments, and he mentions, I'll leave Brian up on the screen. Scott says, Soto is a fantastic hitter, can't be argued the other way. Boris is his agent. Well, Boris is Cody Bellinger's agent, right? Boris is the agent of a lot of players. And you know what? Boris does what his players ask. If you want to get top dollar, he'll go get you top dollar. If a Jose Altuve tells him, who's also represented by Scott Boris, bring me back to Houston, it's good as done. So if you want to work Scott Boris to make a long-term marriage with the team you're on, he'll do that for you. So I have hope. I shouldn't even say hope. I have a feeling it's going to get done. And Brian, who should be, I don't know when we're going to start our Hall of Fame. We have to do something, Jake. Have to.
I know. I think I have some screenshots. Now we'll probably never be able to find them. But yeah, the whole point was we were going to post it in the community tab.
Okay. I would also like to, with some type of merch, where we have like a Hall of Fame, like Yankees Unloaded Hall of Fame, and it has people's names etched on there. And Brian would absolutely be there because his supers are just always good. So yes. Brian with the 5 says, I truly hate Boone's handling of the pitching staff. The overusage of the pen is criminal, drives me nuts. So one thing, Jake, and I'll tee you up real quick here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to look too much into how he manages Luis Gil, because Gil is coming back from injury.
That's
I think
fair.
Anytime I have a player who is both young and rehabbing injury, I mean, literally he was just on rehab just a few weeks ago. I think under those type of circumstances, I would look at it and say, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt when it comes to pulling a starter. However, when I see a Rodon, a Freed, anybody else, a Will Warren, and I know he's young, but he's not rehabbing. When those type of guys are out there, even a Cam Schlittler who's pitching well with 86 pitches at the time, this is just the other day, leave those players in, to Brian's point. But today, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
That's fair. I still think Gil should have kept going, but I understand your point. Mark Leiter Jr. under no circumstances should have been taken out after getting 2 outs and only throwing 8 pitches.
That's fair.
And he just, I don't know if it's because he's coming off injury and they're babying him, but, and I just, I don't know. I mean, the thing about Duvall is that you know he's got control issues, right? So bringing him in that situation, yeah, I didn't love it. I thought they should have stuck by Leiter and then probably gone to Weaver. They haven't been willing to go back to Weaver in the multi-inning. Like, he went 1 1/3 today, but they haven't been willing to give him like a full 2 innings. I really want to see them start doing that again, because that's when Luke Weaver is at his best, in my opinion.
Do you think that's like a physical, he's got his bumpers on right now? And mind you, 4 outs is still somewhat strenuous, but they had no hesitancy whatsoever to go too full before. I mean, you're talking about,
he threw fewer pitches than Bednar and got another out.
Yeah, no, I hear you. If he's healthy, you should just let him go, especially if he's a reliever. If this is a starter, it's a different situation. A lot more stress on the arm. But Yeah, I would like to, especially with Weaver. His injury was hamstring related, not arm. So I just think if he's ready to go, you just kind of let him go. And so obviously the good news is with Weaver, it's going to be a confidence thing. We need to build that. And obviously he had a big out today, so that really helps. And Armando Gomez, thank you for the 10, says, to Gary's point, you can't have a guy on the bench be better. And obviously he's mentioning about Jason Dominguez. Right now, Stanton is the better bat over Judge. If we are a win now, we can afford to have a guy in there looking to work on timing. It is interesting.
My thing about Stanton right now is that it's not just how hot he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's that he's willing to work the count. Judge is swinging. He's whiffing. You watch those at-bats, they're not Judge at-bats. It's like he's trying to hit a home run every time. And I understand, okay, yeah, it's Aaron Judge, and I get that. And he's going to figure it out probably end of the month. But right now, if push comes to shove, like, you want Stanton in that, you know, position, because Stanton is the one that's hitting liners into the gap. Stanton's the one who's hitting home runs, but then he's also walking. And that's the thing. Like, does he have some occasional whiffs where, as you've said in the past, he looks like George Washington cutting down a tree? Absolutely. But I've been so impressed during this run with Stanton the last 2 months. His eye has gotten better. I feel like he's become a better player. I'm not saying he's better than he was when he hit 59 home runs in Miami, but I'm saying this is one of the best iterations of Yankee Stanton I've seen. And so I just don't understand how that guy can ever not be in the lineup. I don't care. Like, you know, if Judge was hitting, you know, like he looked like he was hitting 330, 340, 350 right now, fine. But we all see it. Judge is going downhill. Okay. Is he going to come back? We all assume he is, and I would imagine he's going to. But right now, Judge is not hitting well. Like, I brought up the numbers. I mean, an OPS below 700, a batting average 200 in August, he's not hitting well. And so people will say, well, yeah, he needs to keep playing. It's like, well, actually, they need to get him healthy. So if he's not 100%, yeah, this isn't a team. The margin for error is very slim to win these games. This is a game that should have been taken care of, and it came down to the last inning, 4-3.
Against guys, you don't really know a bat like Stanton.
That could have been a huge difference. Yeah, that could have been a completely, like, we don't know, but you see those games where, you know, he has four hits the other day, and it's like, who's to say he couldn't have done that today? I mean, Pallante, I think he absolutely could have taken him deep, you know?
I'm going to say one thing about Judge, though, because you mentioned health, and you're saying, well, they have to get him 100%.
Yeah.
Nobody's 100%. Not at this stage of the season. You go ask any player on San Diego and LA, they're all beat up, right? Wells has got issues with his fingers, right? You think Ben Rice is healthy? Foul balls off him left and right. Now he's now catching every day. No one's healthy. But having said that, I think the Yankees probably look at it and say, Judge isn't going to be 100%, right, the rest of the year. And so if that's the case, these games are used, even if he's cold, as we can't go where we have to go. If we want to, because the Yankees aren't giving up on the division. They're still going for it. And right now, teams are starting to fall back into their lap. Well, having said that, Judge has to be Judge for that to even be in the equation. And Hollow702, who's a member of ours, says Stanton has always been known for throw a mistake and it's gone. But when you combine a lower chase rate with that, my goodness, exactly. That's part of him getting hot. I'm going to say about Stanton, though, is Stanton just gets hot whenever the Yankees need to win games. He's ready. We don't have any must-win Yankees games the last 5 years where Stanton's not there giving quality at-bats. I get it. He can't play the field. I understand this isn't really what we paid for, but he's delivered with the bat as a Yankee when he's on the field. And so that's why a lot of people say, oh, he's the captain. It's because when things are rocky, really the captain is, who do we look at when everyone's freaking out and we've got to do something? When everyone's waiting on us to win a game, Who's the first person to step up? It's not Aaron Judge. And this is no knock on Aaron Judge. This is really a way to prop up Giancarlo Stanton and what he's done. This is a way to acknowledge when we said, we both agreed, hey, maybe this is a candidate to be DFA'd. Maybe this guy doesn't have anything left. Physically, he's too banged up. He can't get back on the field. And these are ways that he was covered. But then all of a sudden, Jake, you fast forward 5, 6, 7 months, and the most important at-bats of the year, we had Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton stepping up. Huge. We don't make it to a World Series. We don't get past Kansas City or Cleveland without their contribution. So has to be stated, I think Giancarlo is the captain of this team. I understand he may not get in front of the cameras and do all the talking, but he does all the swinging.
I think he's underrated, and I don't know why, but I think he is. I don't think people realize like how good he really is. And I mean, he had those years where you look and it's like, yeah, they were not great years, but why was that the case? And you have to look back and it's like, I think injuries really plagued him, and most guys would have called it quits by now, but he just continued. And you know, they talk about his work ethic and how this dude is just always working out and everything and keeping himself in shape. And look, I mean, he goes from, you know, 2022, you've never seen anything like it. He's hitting 211. And then he hits 191, okay, in 2023. So you're thinking this dude's done, right? 759 OPS Stanton, a home run hitter. And then in 2023, a 695. That looks like, there it is. There's his career. He's going down the tubes. And then last year, you start to see a glimmer of hope, 773 OPS. It improves. He goes 233 batting average. But this year, and obviously played a lot fewer games, but 42 home runs and 43 games played. And, you know, you're talking about a guy, again, 299, 373, 576 with a 949 OPS. I mean, that's one of the best hitters in baseball right now, truthfully.
Yeah, he should be playing. And Slim Lewis is giving you some credit here with a 10. Slim, thank you. Slim. Says, right on, Jake. If they refuse to play Giancarlo in the outfield in St. Louis, then sit Judge for a day. A day, that's the key, right? Because you're mentioning, essentially, we need to buy Stanton time physically to be able to go play the outfield. They were saying Stanton physically needs today. Mm-hmm. From the field, we're going to alleviate that problem, and he's going to sit. No, he should have been able to DH today. And Judge, who's ice cold, should have just taken a day and a breather. Yeah. And then you bring him back out there, and guess who gets to go back out to right field? Giancarlo Stanton. So Slim is giving you, obviously, a ton of credit for that take. He says, that's the best take I've heard from you. And that's some pretty big praise, because we have a lot of takes on this show. We're a daily podcast. But they'd be scared to hurt Judge's feelings and thus fire Boone. So Slim is not happy with that decision.
I love the end of that. Fire Boone.
The fire Boone in the supers is just hilarious. And B. Rye with the 10 says, Wells blocks that pitch Rice lets get by. He let get by. It's nice Volpe has hit some homers, but his on-base percentage is .263 over his last 30. Okay. His on-base will never be good in any year. That's not who he is. It's the same thing for other really good players in this game. Luis Arias, for example, their game isn't drawing a walk. There's a skill to it. It's not just don't swing. It's difficult to walk. Otherwise, everyone would do it, right? So yeah. I'm just telling you guys, let's just accept what Volpe's doing right now, because I know today it was an 0-for day. I get that. But he's hitting clutch home runs. He's fielding his position. It doesn't look like it looked 3 weeks ago. I will take whatever this is. So, and I get it about Wells kind of going backwards here. Wells maybe he does block that pitch, but you know what Wells wouldn't do? He wouldn't have two knocks, and he wouldn't be scorching the baseball. So dude, there's give and take here.
It's so true. It's funny. Ben Rice can strike out 3 times, and I don't even remember those because I remember the hits. Austin Wells, I remember every single strikeout because there aren't many hits. And it's like, I hate to say that because, you know, I went to bat for Wells. But the way it is right now is that, yeah, Rice is just a better player. And, yeah, Wells might have blocked that. But you know what? And I'm glad they brought this up on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. This is what happens. Okay. Rice is still getting acclimated. And I'm willing to deal with this stuff because he's been really good behind the plate. He really hasn't been much of an issue on the pass balls and what have you. One thing I have to say, though.
Yeah, what's up?
I have to say, it's so funny. With the one-legged catcher, you know how they always have to tell you, oh, he's on one knee, mm-hmm. you know? Oh, he's on one knee. And you know what's so funny about that? When did the one-knee catching start? Isn't that pretty new? That's pretty new.
I would probably say the one-knee catching started in about, I would guess, like 2012, 2011.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's pretty new, right?
Pretty new.
So it's funny. I was just talking to my friend about this. You think all those years catchers just didn't know they could catch on one knee?
Oh, they knew.
They knew. It's just not the most optimal thing. Like, if you're looking for the best possible, catching on one knee is not the best thing. And so no, I understand.
It's the best for framing.
Yeah, I understand it's uncomfortable, right? To be just in the full crouch. And yeah, it might be best for framing, but you know what? I'm not sacrificing. And think about this, and I think this is how we really need to look at this. How much does framing matter, and how much do pass balls matter? I do not think when you have runners on, you should be in the one knee position.
That's the hard part, though, Jake, because they obviously do a ton of studying on this, and I'm not telling you because they study means they have the right answer to the test. But what I'm telling you is that I think the way they look at it is that, okay, nobody's on base. You're mm-hmm. going to be on one knee. If they hit a foul ball off your leg, so be it. We saw that today in the game. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have an easier time framing, and it's going to help the pitcher. Then when somebody gets on base, if all of a sudden you're like, all right, I'm no longer going to be on a knee, I think their perception is now the target is different. And mm-hmm. maybe that has a negative impact. Now, do I agree with it? No, probably not. I think if I have guys on base, especially in the eighth or ninth inning, this is winning time.
Yeah.
I get it. We want to be able to steal strikes. I do. But there has to be a reason why you see guys like Girardi, right? You see people like Posada getting on the mic and they're like, I just don't understand the one knee thing. They knew about the framing. Posada probably wanted to be a better framer. They get all this. But to not be able to block, I didn't have a problem when the ball wasn't blocked because I just know Ben Rice is catching for some other, like really some other reason. He's back there not to be the catcher. He's back there to hit. That's why he's there. Right? It was the same thing with Mike Piazza. Mike Piazza's not catching to be some dynamic catcher back there. He's catching to be a hitting catcher.
Oh, I wasn't even getting on Ben Rice for the one. That's actually kind of the funny thing, the one knee. Mm-hmm. It was actually the one, the wild pitch that went against the Cardinals. I was like, mm-hmm. this is what I mean. Like, why? So now I think was it Jazz or Caballero that went to third? And I'm like, bro, he was a statue. He's able to block that easily if he's in the crouch. But because he was on one knee facing towards the first base side, the wild pitch goes off like his arm, his left arm, closest to third base. And it's like, yeah, I don't like the one knee.
There's a major give and take with it.
Yeah, I'm seeing it a lot, and I know they're going to tell us, well, the analytics show that the one knee is the best. It's the most optimal. It's probably the most healthy, right, because the full crouch is putting on way more pressure. But I don't know, man. I watched that today just with the Cardinals catcher. Wasn't even Ben Rice. That's actually why I brought it up. And I just think it's silly. Like, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I'm like, you're putting yourself in the worst possible position. And you know, if you're going to do that with nobody on, fine. But if you're going to do that with runners on, you better get in the way. Because if you don't get in the way of that pitch, I mean, that's ridiculous. That's like, you know, that honestly, I would equate it to this. Making the last out at third base. You're stealing when you don't need to steal, and you go and you try to steal third, and you get thrown out. Why'd you do that? You didn't have to do that. There are runners on. You don't have to be in the one knee position. So, yeah, I think it's bad. I just think it's bad baseball at the end of the day, because now Caballero goes to third base, and it's like you just gave a guy a free base. And, I mean, that guy would have scored from second on a loop anyway. But
I think they do it also because there's such – a low emphasis for batting average today. I think they perceive it as it's not as bad to let a guy get to third base than it is to give up a strike. I think they're just constantly going for the out at the plate, and that's the mentality. So maybe they know better than we do, but I agree with you. I mean, I like the idea that if the ball's in the dirt, my catcher's in the best position to block the ball. But in these situations, you might be in a postseason game with, I don't know, one out, man on second base, and you've got a guy on one knee in Ben Rice, and he doesn't get to a ball. Well, you'd like to believe, especially 25 years ago, that runner getting from second to third is dead. That is death. Because now guys are used to putting the ball in play, but what do guys do less today than ever before? Put the ball in play. So I think there's just less emphasis on preventing guys advancing bases, and I think that's why you see such a priority in the framing. And Slim Lewis brings up the two, kind of mentioning this whole Judge thing and tying it together. Mentioned that Cal Raleigh sat yesterday. Obviously, most notably, goes 3-for-5 with a homer today. And to really kind of back up the point is that Cal Raleigh's last 15 games sitting 158, right? Since the break, he hasn't been the same player. Now, is he going for the MVP? Is he going for the home run title? I have no idea if that's the problem. Is it the home run derby, maybe? I don't know. But they said Cal Raleigh, who's going to hit over 50 home runs for the Mariners at the catcher's position, ridiculous season, insane. They said he's not a good enough player for us to just play him when he's this ice cold. We need to do something to reset him. And they did that. And they saw the benefits today. So I love that that is being brought up. So Slim, appreciate it. And my mom said, I don't even know. Jake, do you know what this is saying?
Sorry, I X rank the Italy one, good win, Yankees U number one.
Well, I really appreciate it, Mom. Obviously, the sad news for Padres Unloaded, the Padres just lost. So now the Dodgers are back in first place. That last out was just recorded 30 seconds ago. So had to report it a little over 30 seconds ago, but I had to report it here on Yankees Unloaded. Obviously, somewhat of baseball news. And Scott Ross with the 5 says the Stanton debate goes directly to what Frazier said. They don't believe in hot. Who's going to tell them it has worked for 130 years in baseball? I'm going to say, though, it's somewhat in their defense. I just think, Jake, they're making the wrong decision as far as protecting health. The decision they today are. Was to put Stanton at DH. I had no problem with them thinking he needed a day. That I didn't have a problem with. But the decision to roll Judge out there as the ice-cold hitter rather than just getting Stanton's bat only in the lineup, that has nothing to do with rolling with the hot or not, because Stan's going to play tomorrow because he's hot. So, like, I do believe the Yankees believe in hot, but this decision that they made today as far as how to use Stan, that was stupid. It was dumb.
Yeah, I hated it. It ruined the mood for me going into the game. And I mean, sometimes that happens. I mean, I have nothing against Caballero. I like him as a player, and you know, he had two hits today, but why is Stanton not in the lineup? It's, you know, again, he doesn't have to play right field. If you're like, oh, it's a tough assignment at Bush, that's totally fine. He should have been DH. Well, you can't bench Judge. Yeah, I can. When he's hitting 200 and I need to win games. Like, they don't
I get it.
That's the thing. People, like, when they say, like, you know, and I understand, like, we're talking about Aaron Judge, right? So I'm not, like, trying to, like, you know, discredit him. But we're also talking about a team that has 65 wins this late in the year, not 72 or 74 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, they can't afford to lose any of these games. Definitely not a game against a team that is borderline 500. They need to win all of these games, because the Boston Red Sox series is going to be very indicative, I think, of what this team ends up being over the course of the rest of the year.
And yeah. That's why we told who did we tell to go to that game again?
I don't know.
I blank out on it, but it was a super chatter of ours in our last episode. He asked if him and his daughter should go to that game, and I said, yeah, absolutely.
We should go.
Alex Reyes with the 5.
I don't know how it'll happen, but we should.
I know.
Doesn't change the fact that we should.
Right. might not be the case, but Stan is the only one who looks like he hates losing. I want to cover this. I really do. Because
Bellinger.
What?
No, Bellinger looks like he... Because he said, might not be the case, but Stan the only one who looks like he hates losing. Bellinger looks pissed off when they lose.
Yeah, which is, it's all the players you would expect to be pissed off, look pissed yeah. off. But obviously you guys saw, I'm sure you guys saw it on Twitter, when Devin Williams was laughing around, he was just giggling like a hyena in the dugout.
Good
God. He's like, I pitched well. I know you guys were losing. That's actually the thing that used to piss off our coaches the most in high school. The most, right? And I remember there was a player, and he played in the minor leagues. He was on my high school baseball team, and he played in the Red Sox system. He's still in the minor leagues today. His name is Jamie Westbrook. He was my teammate in high school. And this player, him and I both, hit two home runs in a game in high school. And we actually faced Zach Davies. I don't know if you guys remember Zach Davies.
Yeah.
Right? Pitch for Arizona, Milwaukee. We both hit two home runs against Zach Davies in that game. We still got run ruled. Okay? Now, when we got on the bus, Jamie and I both were like, man, this really sucks because we can't sit here and laugh and have a good time because we just hit two home runs each against a guy who's probably going to play professional baseball. We were yeah. feeling really good. But we as 16 and 17-year-old kids knew, because it's common sense, is we lost. So you don't sit in the dugout, woohoo, do you see my home run? Nobody cares because you lost. That is really what it should be, and it wasn't. And so when Alex Reyes is talking about hating losing, we get it. You're not going to sit there for 162 games and say, you know what, we're not in first place, so we can't have any fun. This is a day-to-day basis. If you're winning, have as much fun as you want. If we're losing, you don't have to sit there and be surly, but you shouldn't be sitting there giggling like you can barely, like your belly hurts. You're losing 4-1 to one of the worst teams in baseball, and you're laughing. So, yeah, Alex, I like the concept that there's certain players on our team that losing just seems to be, I don't know, just it comes and goes. And we've got tomorrow's game. We're millionaire athletes. It's not that big of a deal to us. I know you guys are freaking out. You're the Yankees fan base. We get all that. But we're going to get it figured out. Don't you worry. And then there's other players like Stan who understand exactly how we feel. And it shows because he's ready. Even in times where it's as bad as it gets, we still respect how he's going about his business.
Yeah. And there's one more super chat here from Victor. Tony Pena sat down catching. Yeah, very unconventional style. I'm actually going to bring that up here.
I don't even remember that.
He's an older player. See?
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of the broadcasts, they make it seem like they've never seen it before, but it's become league-wide that catchers are out there. Austin Wells, for example, the reason Austin Wells, if you guys are wondering why he's in the lineup all the time, it's because of his framing. Well, the way he catches, his style, it's helping him frame. And so is it the best decision? Probably not. But this is where the game's headed, where you just have a bunch of dudes sitting like you're in kindergarten.
That's insane.
And you're absolutely right, Victor. Thank you for the two. Says when you wear pinstripes, it's all business. It should be, but it hasn't been. So I'm looking forward to hopefully at some point in the future we get back to that where winning has to be a prerequisite to fun. Other than that, we're not having any fun at the yard. I don't want to have fun. And when you play 162 games and you win 90 plus games, there's plenty of time to have fun. Plenty of it. And when you leave the field, I don't expect you to go to Del Frisco's and be crying. Live your life. But when you're at the park and you're down 8-1 to Baltimore, who's in fifth place, yeah, you should look miserable. Sorry. Should.
No, I agree. I think it's time for us to wrap the show. But first, we're going to do a little quick preview of tomorrow's game. Max Fried taking on former Yankee Sonny Gray. I say former Yankee. It feels like he hasn't been a Yankee in like 10 years.
At least 8.
Yeah. No, I know. Max Fried, I think is going to get back on the train. Not necessarily because he's 100% back, more so because I really don't like this lineup of St. Louis.
I'm with you.
So I think this is a get-right series if they play their cards right. You beat Sonny Gray, who's by far the best pitcher that they're going to face in the series. Then you got Miles Mikolas.
Not high on Miles Mikolas.
No, I'm not. He's not good. I mean, he's good in the sense that he can be in the MLB, but he's not good in the MLB. So I think Fried gets back on the high side tomorrow. 7:15 start time. This is going to be a late-ass show, Gary.
Because we're going to be here. We do not care.
Yeah, we'll be here, but it's going to be a late-ass show because I have the Rams preseason game. I got Yankees. I'm going to have freaking dual screens and everything.
I'll tell you right now, if I see Sonny Gray spin a gem, I might honestly just fade away. Like in Endgame where they just disappear. that'll be what I look like to
Photoshop that. It's just you just turning to dust.
Yeah, just everyone just think of me if that's happening. And Chris, who I've seen on Twitter before, oh, there you have it. Thank you for the five. Really appreciate it. It says, great show, guys. Gary, love chatting on X. There you have it. Much respect on your thoughts and words. Kudos to the both of you. So, Chris, thank you for showing up to Yankees Unloaded, obviously, and supporting the channel.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. I will fade away from existence. So,
it fades away. This is interesting.
Yeah, so I'm going to say this.
I feel so good, Mr. Boone. Hall of Fame chat. Hall of Fame chat. It's not even a super chat. Hall of Fame chat virtual. Oh my goodness.
They need to get, so I don't like AI, but they need to find a way to get me in the AI software and just disappear. So if anyone's gotten involved in the AI, please go ahead and send that to me. Virtual. That is awesome.
Oh, and so, goodness.
Maybe this is interesting. Stan, I assume, is going to be playing right field tomorrow. Now, if that's the case, what if all of a sudden they have Dominguez playing as well? Do they do it with a ground ball pitcher in Fried?
Okay. So Sonny's a righty. I think everybody's a righty in this series.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Catcher's going to be Ben Rice. First base, I'm going to go with Bellinger again.
Okay.
I think it'll be what we saw, except Caballero will be out and Stanton will be in right. And yeah, I think that's what it'll look like. Everybody stays the same.
Okay. So, I mean, the fly balls are going to be very interesting tomorrow. So,
if Stanton isn't in the lineup tomorrow, Boone should be fired. The whole MIT squad in the analytical department should be fired. Hal Steinbrenner should be fired. Brian Cashman should be fired. Like, I will literally, I'll lose my collective shit. I will.
As we should. So, we're going to see what happens. What do we want them to drop in the comments?
All right, how about this? I've been making a lot of food lately, okay? Doing a lot of meal prep. Drop your favorite thing to cook in the comment section below. What would you say, Gary? What's yours?
I have no answer. I hate cooking.
Oh, I'm obsessed with it now.
I mean, cooking's fine. It's just the cleaning up part. I'd much prefer just go out to eat. I actually like
cleaning up.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Dude, I don't know either. I'm trying to figure out.
I just love cleaning up.
Hated cooking. I hated cleaning, and now I like doing both. So I don't know what's going on with me.
Yeah,
but
Oakland fan, a nice little chicken parm. Chicken parm is great. You know what's even better than the chicken parm? Chicken parm at a restaurant. It's awesome.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, dude. Amateur hour. You got to clean as you cook.
So much fun. So much fun. So, yeah, drop in, guys, in the comment section what you guys would cook. And if you haven't subscribed to Yankees Unloaded, we would assume you have after an hour and 15. But if not, Make sure you do that. Hit the bell. We go live after every game. We're giving away a Yankees jersey of your choice.
Yeah.
Highest quality possible at 10,000 subscribers. I know we're over 9,500 now. We'll be there very shortly. We're excited to do it. And thank you guys. Really appreciate it. We didn't expect more than 11 people to be in here. It was the most unfun win
ever. That was you. That was you. I knew that more people
would
show.
Would you say there were going to be 14?
No, I figured there would be about 300.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was better than that. So thank you guys.
Yeah, we had over 400. Oh, yeah. My favorite thing to cook, I don't know if what I would even say there. So I don't even know if I can answer the question I'm asking you to answer. But I did just make buffalo garlic parm wings, and I battered the wings with coconut flour, and I put them in the air fryer, and they were incredible. So.
Okay. What do I like cooking? Man, never been much of a cooker. I've been more of a microwaver my whole life. more of an air fry kid.
I was like myself. An air fryer.
Yeah,
so you're just an air fryer. That's all.
I'm not doing much cooking. I mean, it's kind of like saying the people at McDonald's cook. Like they're not. There's no chefs back there. They just kind of just hit the machine. That's who I've been in the kitchen. So
that's fair.
Yeah, I don't do any cooking, so I won't even answer this question. So drop in the comment section your favorite item to cook that you actually cook. No air fryer. Like, the oven's fine, but you actually cook that meal. Drop it in the comments. We'll read all of them. We'll be commenting back. We appreciate all you guys. Make sure you subscribe. And of course, Jake, they have to like this video.